Kalavritya tu mayayam. Guna mayam adokshaja. Purushena tama bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Kalavritya tu mayayam. Guna mayam adokshaja. Purushenatma bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Kalavritya tu mayayam. Guna mayam adokshaja. Purushenatma bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Kalavritya tu mayayam. Virya viryavan. Kala vritya tu mayayam. Guna mayam adokshaja. Purushenatma bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Kala vritya tu mayayam. Gunamayam adokshaja. Purushenatma bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Kala vritya tu mayayam. Purushenatma bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Mataji, please. Kala vritya tu mayayam. Guna mayayam adokshaja. Purushenatma bhutena. Viryam adata viryavan. Kala, the eternal time. Vritya, by the influence of. Tu, but. Mayayam, in the external energy. Guna mayam, in the qualitative modes of nature. Adokshajaha, the transcendence. Purushena, by the Purusha incarnation. Atma Bhutena, who is the plenary expansion of the Lord. Viryam, the seeds of the living entities. Adhata, impregnated. Viryavan, the supreme living being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhayacharana Arvind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, the supreme living being, in His feature as the transcendental Purusha incarnation, who is the Lord's plenary expansion, impregnates the material nature of three modes. And thus, by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Purport. The offspring of any living being is born after the father impregnates the mother with semen. And the living entity floating in the semen of the father takes the shape of the mother's form. Similarly, mother material nature cannot produce any living entity from her material elements unless and until she is impregnated with living entities by the Lord Himself. That is the mystery of the generation of the living entities. This impregnating process is performed by the first Purusha incarnation, Karnar Navashai Vishnu. Simply by his glance over material nature, the whole matter is accomplished. We should not understand the process of impregnation by the personality of Godhead in terms of our conception of sex. The omnipotent Lord can impregnate just by his eyes, and therefore he is called all-potent. Each and every part of his transcendental body can perform each and every function of the other parts. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.32. Angani yasya saklendriya vrittimanti. In the Bhagavad Gita 14.3, also the same principle is confirmed. Mam yonir mahat brahma tasmin garbham dadami aham. When the cosmic creation is manifested, the living entities are directly supplied from the Lord. They are never products of material nature. Thus, no scientific advancement of material science can ever produce a living being. That is the whole mystery of the material creation. The living entities are foreign to matter, and thus they cannot be happy unless they are situated in the same spiritual life as the Lord. The mistaken living being, out of forgetfulness of this original condition of life, unnecessarily wastes time trying to become happy in the material world. The whole Vedic process is to remind one of this essential feature of life. The Lord offers the conditioned soul a material body for his so-called enjoyment. But if one does not come to his senses and enter into spiritual consciousness, the Lord again puts him in the unmanifested condition as it existed in the beginning of the creation. The Lord is described here as Viryavan, or the greatest potent being, because he impregnates material nature with innumerable living entities who are conditioned from time immemorial. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah. I seek blessings of all my superiors here. In one sense, it is a difficult subject to talk about creation, but because we are getting our understanding, our knowledge from the source itself, so we can definitely say some things based on what we have understood. And of course, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, there is more light and clarity on it. So here we are hearing Maitreya Muni. He is starting to describe how the creation actually happens. And interestingly enough, like I always try to see this in the purports of Srila Prabhupada, here again he's offering a challenge to the scientists. He's saying no scientific advancement can ever produce a living being. And he even gives example how the offsprings are produced actually. There has to be the presence of the Purusha. Without the presence of the Purusha, the offsprings cannot come. But we can see there is a beautiful word that is used here, Viryavan, because the Lord is supremely potent. He can impregnate just by a glance. But we can see from our experience, maybe we know some people, even by all kinds of endeavors, many times, or I should say sometimes, people are not able to have offsprings. But the Lord is supremely potent. He can do it just by a mere glance at His energy. So how I can be so sure about it? We hear in the purport, every morning we sing this prayer. Angani yasya saklendriya vritimanti. So every limb of the Lord is capable of doing any activity. But we can also consider some real events that even when Lord comes, He personally shows how He is doing all these things, just for everyone's understanding. And therefore, we should study these texts so we can understand how these things are happening. That's why all these great sages, they have put these great works together. Because before Kali Yuga, it wasn't in writing. Because everyone was so advanced, they could just hear and remember everything. But these days, especially Vyasadeva seeing with his futuristic vision, he could see the living beings in coming times, they won't be able to remember just by hearing. So he got to put them in writing for benefit of all of us. There is actually a very beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maya mugda jeev, nahi swata Krishna gyan. Jivere kripaya kela Krishna Veda Puran. So all these Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads, they are like the mercy of the Lord. And every living being has this opportunity. This mercy is available to everyone. Especially more so these days, because all these texts, they are translated in so many different languages. Even if someone cannot understand Sanskrit, they cannot understand English. They are available in so many different languages. So, Krishna is doing his part. the sages are doing their part. The living entities, they have to do their part also. And then we can understand mysteries like this. Otherwise, we see even so-called super-educated scientists who can invent all these amazing things, but they cannot understand these simple concepts, that there has to be a combination of the Purusha for the creation to happen. But people who take shelter of these texts, these devotees who have realized these mysteries, then one can understand these things and one can become free from illusion of the illusory energy of the Lord. Now, here there is a So Maitreya Muni, he uses this word, kala vritya. How does it happen? By the influence of time. Now, we can remember Krishna also says some things about time in the Bhagavad Gita. Can anyone remember any text they can think of related to time in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna talks about? Sorry? I can't hear. Oh yeah. Mrityu Sarva Harascham, very famous verse. So people who don't understand Krishna, they also do see Krishna, but they see him as death. Actually, one time I met one person who mentioned the name of one of the scientists, Oppenheimer. He said he referred to this verse. And Oppenheimer is the person who actually invented the atom bomb? Yeah. So you can see he's so intelligent. But what did he invent? But we see Krishna, he's creating, he's maintaining, and also he's showing when he wants how he can wind up everything. So that's how we know how he's Viryavan, supremely potent. But this guy, Oppenheimer, whoever he is, he could only create this atom bomb, but he has no way of creating something that can protect so many living entities on a mass scale. He created something that can destroy living entities on a huge scale, but he could not create anything that could protect living entities on a massive scale. So that's another way we can use our little intelligence to reflect how the Lord is doing so many wonderful things. Just in the first text of Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, even the most highly intelligent, advanced demigods, they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. We can remember the amazing pastime where Krishna, he bewilders Lord Brahma. Now, as per the Vedas, Brahma is the creator of the material universe. And we will be hearing how, actually we heard in second canto, how Lord Brahma, he was praying for creative powers. And he's telling Narada Muni, actually, there is this verse in chapter 5, of second canto, text 33, 34. There is a whole bunch of verses where, because Narada Muni, he thought that Brahma is the creator, but then Brahma is telling Narada how he was personally given powers by Krishna to create this material cosmos. Let's take a little before I talk about that, let me ask, there are different Purusha avatars. Can anyone from, not the Prabhupada disciples, can anyone else tell me the three Purusha avatara names? Yes, sir. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, Karna means the ocean. So, here in this verse, in the purport, it's actually explained about Karna Navashai Vishnu. So, I actually looked it up. From Karna Navashai Vishnu comes the Garbhodakshai Vishnu. But something that we can relate from this world's understanding people has, like many yogis, they practice this yoga nidra. It's a posture. some yoga classes I have been to, all they say is like lie down and just like, you know, breathe and stuff, but there is no planets coming out from anyone. But we can see when Karna Navashai Vishnu, he lies in this Karna ocean, is mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, from the pores of his body, so many universes are coming out just by his breathing. That's the potency. That's not even like a fraction of the potency of the Lord can show. And like Prabhu mentioned, from Karna Navashai Vishnu comes the Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Garbhodakshai Vishnu, he enters every universe that is being created from the pores of Karna Navashai Vishnu. And from his navel sprouts the lotus on which sits the creator of this universe called Brahma. So that's how we can see there is so beautiful imagery. Devotees, they have done so beautiful paintings in the Bhagavatam. We can see just by looking at it, one wonders, wow. How is something like this even possible? But we can see there is so many wonderful things happening even within our experience, within our limited perception, and people accept it because that's how much they can perceive. But these sages who have advanced consciousness, advanced vision, they can perceive much more than what we can perceive. We can consider the example of Brahma. Brahma has so much more advanced facilities. His consciousness is so much more advanced. It's mentioned the Brahma of this universe. There are different Brahmas. But the Brahma of this universe is called Chaturmukhi Brahma. He has four heads, and apparently with every head he is chanting different Vedas. So how many of us can remember all the Vedas? I find it hard even to remember few shlokas. So we can see how powerful Brahma is. He is actually very powerful, and he is the person who can actually within the universe, who is the living entity, he can talk to Krishna. We know this. We read this in the second canto, how Brahma, he personally spoke with him, and there is the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam in the second canto. So I hope some of us can remember that. But this Brahma, when Krishna was present playing with his cowherd friends in the forest of Vrindavan, he got bewildered for a moment, and he decided to find out if this is the real master that he meditates on, that he worships. And what he did is, he tried to take away his cowherd friends he was playing with, and the calves, and he wanted to see what is Krishna going to do now. So Krishna, for a moment, because being omnipotent, he could understand what is Brahma trying to do. For a moment, he kind of acted like an ordinary human being. And he was like, oh, what happened to my friends? And where are the calves and cows? Where are they gone? And he's like looking around in the forest like a ordinary person who lost his friends in the forest, who lost the calves in the forest. And Brahma is feeling, oh yeah, he cannot be my Lord. Look at him. He's just like an ordinary person. You know, he may have some special powers, but then, just to teach him a lesson, and also not just for him, for everyone else, Krishna, by his own yoga maya potency, he created all these cowherds, the calves, the cows, exactly as they were. It was so precise that when these they went back to their houses, their parents couldn't notice that we are dealing with someone else. But one thing that happened was their affection for them grew so much. They were even talking about it. What's going on? We start to like our own children just like how much we love Krishna. But they couldn't figure out what's going on. Even to the extent Lord Balaram, he couldn't figure out for a long time. But he figured out when he saw when the cows, they are so big and they are running from top of Govardhan Hill down to see their calves. And the calves, they are grown up. Usually cows, when the calves are grown up, they don't deal with them so much. They mostly show much affection to the baby calves because they have to feed them. Once the calves are grown up, they don't usually feed the cows breast milk. So Balaram noticed these calves with so full bags of milk, and they are running like at full speed over the hill, trying to get to these grown-up calves and showing them affection. And the milk was pouring out from their udders. The whole hill was like wet with the milk. So Balaram, he could figure out, okay, looks like something else is going on here. And then he even asks Krishna, hey, what's going on here? I'm kind of wondering, what is happening here? And even the cowherds, they would try to separate the cows and the calves because they want to also milk, some milk to use, not just, and also it's actually the calves, they can get sick if they drink too much milk. I know there is a big vegan movement, this and that, but actually that's the whole idea behind it. Just like a mother, she can feed so much breast milk to the baby, but she is careful she makes sure that the child doesn't drink too much and get sick. So that's the idea. They get them to drink so much so they are well nourished, but at the same time not drink too much to get sick. So there's this beautiful scene there, and then Krishna, he actually tells Balaram, this is what's happening. And then you can see this whole thing, it actually, in earthly time, it went on for 1 year. But for Brahma, it was just like this, a moment's notice. And Brahma, when he saw this whole thing going on, he kind of had a realization, oh man, I'm dealing with the wrong person here. So he could understand that that's my Lord that I worship, that I meditate on. And here he is, just even when he's a child, even when he's a baby, He is supremely potent. So he is not like he become God by meditation, or he become God by performing some vratas, some austerities, some tapasya. No, he is God in all situations, all times. And he is showing this by all these wonderful activities. That's how these living entities, even great demigods, they realize that sometimes the illusory energy of the Lord is so powerful, it can even bewilder them. But then we can also see the position of the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord. They are not bewildered. Actually, the Lord personally reveals himself to them. This Sunday was the appearance day of Madhavendra Puri. And we can see Lord Chaitanya, he personally glorifies his devotional qualities. It's mentioned actually he glorified him just like as if he's glorifying with him five mouths. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he personally tells this beautiful story, which I won't get into in the detail, but he tells this whole story how Madhavendra Puri, he saw Krishna personally, and then at that moment he couldn't realize that's Krishna. Krishna bring him milk, and he drink the milk, and he couldn't recognize. But then he came to him in the dream, and he said, "Hey, I'm the same boy who came to give you milk. But guess what? Now you have to do some service for me. Because that's what I've been watching you. I've been watching you. When will Madhavendra Puri come to serve me? So now that you are here, I have some service for you." So we can see that we may think, "Oh, you know, I'm just doing this humble service here. You know, the president doesn't even know what I'm doing. Or the manager doesn't notice me. I'm doing so wonderful service. Or I'm doing this little service. You know, and I'm thinking, I don't know if anyone even cares about it." But we can see Krishna, he's watching. He's personally glorifying. Of course, we can see Madhavendra Puri is so exalted. The Lord Chaitanya, he personally glorifying him. Imagine how fortunate one has to be in such a position. But the point is that the devotees, they are very dear to the Lord. And he personally deals with them on a personal level, one to one. That's how powerful devotional service is. So we don't have to be feel like, "Oh, I don't know much or know this or that." We can take shelter of these books and we can know more than any PhD, scientist, this, that, whoever, scholar, whatever. We can know so much more. And if one cannot even study the books, then one can just hear these beautiful pastimes. And just by hearing them, one can develop these realizations. Just by hearing, how easy it can be. I don't think it can be easier than that. You know, a person, even when they are sick, they can hear. They can just lie down on their bed and they can hear. So it's so beautiful. And you can see, especially when we hear from the pure devotees like Sukadeva Goswami, it has a very powerful effect. We can remember the example of Parikshit Maharaj. Of course, he himself was a pure devotee, but the effect is so powerful. We can take example of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes there is actually a verse in the sixth canto, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktiya. It says, one devotee, he write a book about, actually, I think it's titled The Acharya. And it has like different pictures of Srila Prabhupada, and he gives like a Bhagavatam reference, and he quotes like one or two lines there. So in one of the picture is this verse, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktiya. Means it's explained like this, just like when the first rays of sun, they dissipate all the fog. Same way, when one even get like a abhas, it's mentioned, abhas bhakti. It's just like a imitation bhakti. I shouldn't say imitation, but like a tiny speck of bhakti. It's just like a tinge of bhakti. It can dissipate all the ignorance. That's how powerful bhakti is. So you can understand how just by hearing about Krishna, it is so powerful. How much more powerful it is when you actually get to see Krishna face to face. So that's what Madhavendra Puri, he was like actually lamenting, "Oh man, I saw Krishna, but I couldn't recognize him. How unfortunate I am." He's like going mad. And he's crying. And then, but how he consolidated himself, that's more important for people like myself and maybe some of others who can relate with this situation, is that he consolidated himself thinking, "I have some service to do. The Lord has given me some service." And that's how he kind of got himself together, got over his ecstasy, and he got on to the service. So it's even advanced devotees, they are taking pleasure in rendering service. And that's the way to develop these realizations. That's the way to go out of illusion. And that's the way to meet Krishna. And everyone has this opportunity. That's what is saying here. This material creation is the mercy of Krishna. It's an opportunity for rebellious conditioned beings, stubborn living entities, to understand this thing that, hey, this is my golden chance. And imagine how valuable it is. If one misses it, how much is a loser one is. So the devotees, that's the intelligence. They use their intelligence to take to devotion service, and they become the greatest winner, not the loser. But the person who misses out, that's the greatest loser. That's the greatest loss. In the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, it says actually, that's the greatest loss one can have, is the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. So I will stop here. It's already time. I don't know if there is time, but I think we can just take this point that we should take to devotional service and purify ourselves and become a lover of Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.